Carbon capture? I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner. This is ClimateCast. One technique for reducing atmospheric greenhouse gas emissions is called carbon capture. But how does it work, and what scale is really needed to make a difference? Brad Crabtree is the director for the Carbon Capture Coalition. He joins us today via Skype. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Paul.
Carbon Capture 101, what is it and how does it work?
So carbon capture is a set of technologies. It depends on the industry, but they capture CO2 that's emitted from industrial facilities, power plants, and in the future, even capturing CO2 directly from ambient air from the atmosphere.
So how much CO2 can be pulled from these various processes?
Any given project could be, 100,000 tons of CO2 up to several million tons. Depends on the technology and from which industry.
So the technology is there, but what are the costs? That must be a consideration.
Well, so it depends on which industry. If it's a fairly pure stream of CO2, like from an ethanol plant, the costs of capturing a ton of CO2 are less than it costs to reduce a ton of CO2 emissions through, say, wind or solar, or even some energy efficiency. But then you have other industries like hydrogen production at refineries or capturing CO2 at steel plants or cement plants. And in some cases, those costs could be comparable with, say, wind energy generation or solar. When you get to power plants, which is the most expensive form of CO2 capture, it would be cost effective when compared to things like, say, solar with storage. It depends on the circumstances. The challenge is that until recently, with the 45Q tax credit that was passed last year, you weren't rewarded for reducing CO2 emissions through carbon capture, and that was one of the cost challenges.
So why not just focus on reducing these emission sources rather than capturing the carbon?
Well, if you want to reduce CO2 emissions from some key industries, your only option is to capture the carbon. So for example, in steel production, over half of the emissions are a result of the chemistry of the steel production process. The same is true with manufacturing Portland cement. So to the extent that we want steel and cement in the modern world and we want to decarbonize those products, then we have to be capturing the CO2 from those processes.
So what kind of scale are we talking about here? What would be needed to approach the Paris climate goals, for example?
The International Energy Agency has done modeling of what it would take to reduce warming to 2 degrees centigrade by mid-century. And what they concluded is that between now and 2050, 15% of our emissions reductions need to come from carbon capture. And by 2050, 20% of our annual reductions need to come from these technologies. And the strategy for meeting the 1.5 degree goal is capturing CO2 from most of your power plants and industrial facilities in the world today, but also then drawing down the levels of CO2 in the atmosphere through direct air capture and things like bioenergy and carbon capture.
Let's talk about drawing CO2 directly out of the atmosphere. What is the latest technology there? What's the effectiveness and where is that headed in the next few years?
There are three companies in the world that have deployed technology to capture CO2 from ambient air, and they are now deployed at small demonstration scales. But there was recently an announcement by Carbon Engineering and Oxy Low Carbon Ventures, which is a division of Occidental Petroleum, and they are planning on a million-ton direct air capture project in Texas, and their goal is to have that project in operation by 2022.
Brad Crabtree, director of the Carbon Capture Coalition, thanks so much for joining us via Skype on ClimateCast today.
Thank you, Paul. It was a great opportunity.
That's ClimateCast. I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner.